Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hannah Ashton Podcast, a podcast to mentor, inspire, and empower the boss babe. So today's episode is a little bit different than my other interviews. Not only am I going to be asking Karina Michelle some awesome questions about her experience blogging in college and after, but we also went over some of our favorite inspirational medias. We discuss why you should be vulnerable on social media, when is the right time to move on to your next project, and some fun things like a review of Taylor Swift's new music video and song. So Karina Michelle is a 22-year-old blogger with a passion for interviewing influencers and learning about their journey behind the scenes. She posts the interviews on her online editorial, Love Karina Michelle, which aims to inspire, educate, and motivate young women who aspire to become successful online content creators. So Karina and I have a lot of similar interests and passions for our businesses and for our blogs. I actually did an interview with her on her blog, which I will link below if you guys want to check that out. It's great. I love it. And so when we first talked for that interview, we just had a blast and we bonded over our Latina backgrounds, our love for coffee, and our crazy busy schedules. I'm so happy that we were able to build this friendship and to continue it. And I knew she had to come on the podcast. So let me welcome to you guys, Karina. Hey, Karina. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be speaking with you.
Karina, tell us a little bit about yourself and your blog. Where you're at this point in your life and what you're doing.
At this point in my life, oh my God, the pressure. So I turned 22 a week ago exactly, which is really exciting.
Whoa, happy late birthday.
Thank you. And I've been telling everyone that it's like super lucky for some reason. And I basically have a blog where I help people become online influencers and just young women who want to become girl bosses online. And I have a segment on my blog called Coffee with Karina where I interview female influencers or just females who I think are just doing some amazing things online. And yeah, that's how I met Hannah, which is really interesting. And I loved her episode and I loved having her on and talking to her. And yeah, basically right now I'm just working on my blog and just trying to get more people on it.
How long have you been doing your blog?
So I've been doing my blog for a year now, a year and a few months. In the beginning, it was a lot different than what it is now. In the beginning, I was doing more fashion, beauty, that sort of stuff. But I actually decided that I was going to start interviewing people. And then it sort of made sense to switch over to more influencer marketing and talking about the whole idea of becoming an online influencer.
For sure. I mean, it's such a big thing right now. Like that's what my business is mostly for too, you know, like helping women create businesses from being influencers and having online presences. So yeah, definitely. I think it's awesome. And you're, even for just starting a year ago, you've already like interviewed some pretty big people. Like the first person I saw was, it was Kathleen, right? From Being yes. Boss podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I love their podcast as we discussed. And so like to be interviewed by someone who interviewed her, I was like, ooh, so exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been really lucky and blessed that I have been able to have so many amazing people and amazing women on the blog. I actually majored in public relations, and one of the things that you learn is how to make a pitch email. So that really helped me out because it's one of those things where people need to realize that just because you have little numbers or just because you're starting out, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't succeed and you can't work with people who are bigger than you and doing like more amazing things than you are. So that really helped out.
Yeah, for sure. Like if you have good content, good quality on your channel, your blog, wherever you're at, and you know, you like, it seems like you really love what you're doing and you're professional, like no matter the subscribers or views or followers, like people will be interested and like want to do something with you if you seem cool. So
yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah, that's great advice. And you're also in college currently, or you were in college?
Yeah, I graduated in May.
Okay. So you started looking in college. So guys, yeah, if you want to learn more about Karina and her blog, definitely go check it out. You can read my article. I will have the links to her social medias and blogs in the show notes. But today is actually a special interview. It's not really an interview. It's more just like the two of us sitting at a coffee shop talking about some of our favorite inspirational things of the moment. And we wanted to record it and share it with you guys. So even though we're not at a coffee shop together, we're virtually together, you know, hanging out, and wanted to bring you along. So Karina sent over some awesome links that she's been loving for inspiration lately. And a few of these I've heard of, a few of these I haven't. So hopefully for all of you listening, you can check these out. Again, in the show notes, I'll have all the links. But the first one I wanted to talk about was the TEDx talk you shared with me. With, I don't know how to say her name, like Eliza Licht?
Eliza Licht, yes.
Did you actually read her book called Leave Your Mark?
Yeah, it's actually really funny because I interviewed her for my senior seminar class.
No way. Yep. I'm so jealous.
I know.
She seems so knowledgeable and cool.
She was so cool, so down to earth. She was amazing. And I've always been a fan of her, and she's an amazing resource to go back to, even if it's her book. Look for her TED for her TED talk on Twitter. She's even amazing and gives a little bit of tips. So she's someone that I definitely go to a lot for motivation.
That's so awesome. Cause yeah, I've read most of her book. I'm really bad. I get like a halfway or three fourths through a book and then I find another book. Mm-hmm. So I'm that three fourths way. I've been working through her book for about like 2 years. And I mentioned it in my most recent, like read these books for inspiration video, because it's so helpful. It's like how she started her Twitter. She was the PR person for DKNY. And I think, yeah, so I saw you had that TED talk and she was talking about her life and I read it in the book and I just think she's super awesome. So one quote that I took away from it from the very end was talking about just like opening it up, and this sort of works with what we were discussing with like, just be open and, you know, vulnerable in your emails, pitches, whatever. And like people will relate. So her quote is, sharing breeds openness. Openness breeds collaboration and partnership. If you're open, you can lead the way and others will follow. And yeah, I don't know. What is your take on that? Just being vulnerable when it can be sometimes hard in social media.
Absolutely. I think that if you, a little bit of background of her, when she did DKNY, she used to manage her Twitter, and she was the first brand to get that, a brand having a Twitter account to get to 500,000, I think, followers, which at that time was incredible because no brand really had a social media existence or platform. So I love the fact that she, her priority was always to have a connection one-on-one with her audience. And with her being so open about the tiniest thing from, oh my gosh, today I'm going to fall asleep on my keyboard because I have so much to do, from the biggest thing, like, guys, I just tweeted out that this celebrity is going to wear our dress and she's not. She built that connection and kind of people started trusting her. And I think that it's something that's so important to have on social media when you want to be the creator.
Yeah, I think her social media journey is very unique from now because, again, more background information is the Twitter account was actually like a sketch. Like it was a made up character called DKNY or PR girl, right?
Yeah.
Just PR girl. And so she was pretending to be this character online, but the character was single, you know, living, you know, she said super lean. And while she's married with, I think she's like two kids, and she's like, yeah, I'm pretending to be this person just for the Twitter. And then when a few years later, when she finally was like done and she was like, okay, I actually want to relate this to myself and be open. She was really scared. But she made the comment that, you know, people were fine with, you know, me saying, hey, I'm not PR girl. This is who I actually am, because they already knew her because she was tweeting through her voice for so many years. So they already knew, you know, Eliza, just under a different name and under a different like social life, I guess, or social status. But yeah, I think her story is super awesome. Definitely recommend her book, or if you just want a quick intro into her life, watch her TEDx. But I guess that idea of like her fear going and opening up and being vulnerable also works into the other link you showed me, which was, again, her, it's Maria. How do you say her last name?
Marie Forleo, yeah.
Yeah, and her interview with Elizabeth Gilbert, who is the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and also of her newest book, Big Magic, which also goes into that fear. So what's your take on this?
That mentality changed and inspired me so much. I think that when I started my blog, there were so many fears of what if people find out, what if I started and people think it's dumb, or what if it's not my vision. And Elizabeth Gilbert's idea is that fear is boring because everyone has it, And it's one of those things that it's like, oh, you think fear makes you unique? It doesn't. Everyone has it. Everyone goes through it. So whatever it is that you have the idea that fear is, it's not interesting. So just give it up and just kind of don't let have full control of your life. And that whole idea, it's one of those things where this is going to sound so cheesy, but as soon as I heard that, it completely changed the person who I was. And it was like, I don't really want to, because I think that you let fear control and it's such an excuse. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that mentality that it's like, well, everyone has fear, so you're not special. It's like, I don't want to have fear anymore. Like, why do I want to be like everyone else?
For sure. So do you have an example of some time in your life where before you heard, you know, Big Magic and this and sort of like your mentality compared to a time in your life, like after you heard Big Magic and sort of like how your mentality changed between the two?
Absolutely. Yes. So, it mainly happened, it's happened a lot throughout my life where I've let fear control and take, just really manage my life. Because of fear, I haven't taken a lot of opportunities. So one that comes to mind for some reason is when I was a high school senior, I used to be in the, well, actually I was a junior. I used to be in the forensics club. So you would kind of present a speech and I was in the writing category. So I would come up with my own speech and I presented it. And first of all, I would skip every single practice. Like my teachers had to beg me to go to rehearsal and I'm like, I don't want to do this. And she actually, my teacher was my sister's best friend, weirdly enough. And she was like, no, like you're going, like, I don't care. I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to drag you and you're going to go compete. And I went to competition because I was forced to. And when the time came to announce the winner, I started crying to my mom and I'm like, can we please leave? Like, I know I'm not going to win and I don't want to go through the whole talking to people about it and having to kind of go on stage. And I left and I got a phone call from my teacher being like, where are you? You just won first place. Like, why did you miss out on this? And I was like, I was so scared. Yeah, I was like, I was so scared. I didn't want to like lose in front of everybody. So when the time came to blog, I was following that same pattern that I was when the competition went. I was very scared. I didn't want to do it. I loved interviewing people. I loved talking to people, but I was really embarrassed about what people would think, how people would react. And I heard that and I created a Facebook page for my blog and I shared it with everyone that I knew, which was to me a huge step because I was so scared of everyone. Like my fear mainly came from the reaction of other people. So now I share it everywhere I go. I talk to people about it and it has changed so much everything just because like I get phone calls from my friends all the time being like, hey, I know this blogger who's really cool. She would love to be on your blog. And they would send me links.
Yeah.
So it's that you never, I feel like people's reactions, especially with that fear, people's reactions are never what you're going to expect them to be. Like most of the phone calls that I got were friends being like, I can't believe you didn't tell me about this. Like, this is so cool. And I was like, oh, okay.
And I definitely think like your school competition, like that is a great like analogy for like any like big thing too in someone's life, something, you know, not that that wasn't big, 'cause I'm sure at the time, like I'm in high school and like competitions now are like everything, but you know, I'm sure when you look back in 20 years, you'll be like, that was so insignificant, but it taught you the lesson, you know, that you don't want to miss out on something great because you're scared of the unknown. You're scared of what would happen if the great thing didn't happen. So.
Yeah. And it's also one of those lessons where I think back. And it's like, imagine all the wins that I am missing out on because I'm scared. Like I could have gone on stage and received a first place trophy, but because I was scared, I missed out on it. So imagine all the other trophies I, you know, theoretical, maybe they were just other wins that I could have won, but because of my fears, I missed out on.
Yeah, for sure. And I can see the same correlation, like with my YouTube, like when people ask me if I was scared when I started YouTube, I say, honestly, no, because I was so young and I like didn't really know what could happen. And I was in a small school. And so I wasn't used to having like bullies really, or I still didn't really want to tell people it's my school. But I wasn't scared. Like I was just like, oh, you know, it's just like going outside and playing basketball. Like it's just something I'm going to do in my free time. But I feel like if I started it now, it'd be a lot different. But yeah, so part of me is thankful that I didn't have that fear because who knows, maybe I wouldn't have started it and then I wouldn't be talking to you here today and wouldn't be posting this interview online. And so just, yeah, you just have to wonder like, what are you going to be missing out on in the future if you don't take this chance now? Okay, so going into podcasts, that's like my new favorite thing. And as if you can't tell, because I started one. But I'm also so glad you showed me the Influencer podcast, because I listened to her very first like introduction episode on my way to school this morning. And I just resonated with her. Like, first off, I heard her little like country twang and I was like, okay, where is she from? And then she said Los Angeles. And I was like, And then she's like, but I grew up in a small town in Tennessee. And I was like, there it is. I knew it. Right. Cause I'm from Tennessee. And so she lived in Nashville and she actually went to UT, which is at a school that I'm looking to go to. So I like was like, oh my gosh, like she is me in 10 years, right? This is what I'm going to be. So I definitely love just the introduction, but how long have you been listening to her and like what have you sort of gotten from her?
So she started her podcast recently. I want to say within this year. So it was really random. She commented on one of my pictures on Instagram. So I went on her profile and I was obsessed with her. I was like, wow, because at the time I was studying public relations and she was doing influencer marketing and she was being a publicist for influencers. And I'm like, I would love to have that job. I never even imagined that that job existed. And I started visiting her blog. And then recently, I think it was in the spring, she launched her podcast. And I was like, yes, like this is exactly what I need.
Yeah, it's super great. And she does interviews too, as I saw. And she also has this new course coming out that honestly I want to take. Yeah. It's, you know, like branding and stuff. But I was like, you can always learn more. So I was like, I want to buy this course. Birthday present.
Yes.
Okay, so going into some of the YouTubers you mentioned. So Nikki Philippi.
Love her.
And I'm so excited. I just heard she's moving to Nashville.
I know.
Which I was like, wait, what? Like a YouTuber moving out of LA to like come into Tennessee, like here with me. Okay. Come on. I'll welcome you. And I've been following her since I was like in eighth grade, but what's your story with her? Like, why do you love her?
So Nikki is one of those people who we are really similar. And sometimes I felt like the videos that she was posting were things that I was going through in my life. So it was like, I remember she posted, I don't know, like a lifestyle, how to have a happier morning. And it was back when I was in college having like 8 a.m. classes, waking up miserable. And I was like, yes, like this is what I need. I felt like every single video that she made was so in tune with what was going on in my life. I started watching her, I think, when I was like a senior in high school. So I've been watching her for like around 5 years now.
Yeah.
I love her advice and she's just amazing.
Yeah. And also what I love is now usually like the big YouTubers are the ones that do like the crazy videos, you know, clickbait, all that kind of stuff. But her content is so just like authentic, I feel like, you know, it's like what's going on with her and her husband or like what is she buying at Home Goods? And yes. But she still has like over 1 million subscribers. And the other girl I just started following was Erin Henry. And I feel like me and her also do somewhat similar videos. She has a lot of girl boss videos, which are super popular now on YouTube. When did you find her?
I found her, I think it was a couple of months ago. She is absolutely amazing. I like to say that she's like my coworker, just because every time I need help with my business, I'm like, all right, I'm sure she has a video on this. And I always go on her to kind of check to see if what I'm doing is right. She's really good if you are really confused with social media, because she was a social media manager. So she's really good with helping you like do like editorial, how to plan out your social media, like what to post where, that sort of stuff. She's really good.
Yes, for sure. And I love how you said that. She's your coworker.
Yeah. So I can definitely
do that too. Yeah, because she has her own business now. I'm pretty sure she does consultations or courses or something like that. So yeah, she's super great to learn from and she's so cute. I want to meet her in real life. I just feel like we would all get along so well. And then Lauren Conrad, I've seen her obviously like magazines and books, but I never like checked out her YouTube channel. So that's super interesting to see these stars have YouTube channels.
Yeah. Lauren Conrad is my role model. She's someone who I aspire to be like Lauren. She's someone who, I don't know. I think she's been able to do so many amazing things after her reality show and even during it. And I remember that I once watched a documentary on her and she was like, oh, my kind of life quote is that if someone tells me I can't do it, that's just going to make me want to do it even more. And because of that, she has like 3 clothing lines. She has a blog. Mm-hmm. She has like, I think she's released like 6 books, maybe more. Like she's been able to do everything. And I'm that type of person. I can't just do one thing. Like now I have my blog, but I already have like 3 side projects that I haven't even launched and I'm not ready to launch yet, but I can't do just one thing. I love trying everything out. And she makes it so cool to just be a good role model because, yeah, she was on the Hills. She was a reality star. But you don't really hear, like, awful things about her ever. She's really classy. Like, she's really sweet. So that's someone who I admire a lot. I really like her.
Yeah, I love doing multiple things. Like, I overwork myself sometimes because I'm like, oh, I want to do that too. Like, I see someone working on this and I'm like, okay, I want to try that. When can I fit that into my schedule? And sometimes I can't. But yeah, for sure. I have like 4 side projects. Yeah.
It's something that I've actually talked to multiple creators that I've had on the interview series. I'm like, when do you know when it's time to move on to the next thing? Or like, all right, this is already settled. Let's just do something else. Just because you also don't want to overwhelm yourself. You want to give each project the attention that you can, the passion that you can, and you don't want to do it quickly. So I don't know. It's one of those things that it's like you have to feel it out, plan it out, do what feels right for you.
Exactly.
So I love that you're that way too.
For sure. And something with me, and I guess it's just because YouTube brought me up like this, is because you want to do that video before someone else does it or someone bigger than you does it, because then even if you did it before, people are still going to blame you for copying them. Like that's just how it is, and I've been dealing with that for so long. So I'm like, okay, all these side projects that I were going on, I'm like, okay, I have to get these done within like the next year, the next few months, because who knows, they may get the idea and then, you know, I'll be like left in the dust, and I have to remind myself like it's okay. Like even if they do it, you know, you can put your spin on it and do it in a different way. But yeah.
To kind of bring it back, in the Marie Forleo interview with Elizabeth Gilbert, she mentions this documentary. It's called, they have it on YouTube, it's free. It's called Everything's a Remix. And it just shows that everything that has been created has an element of something that has been done before. So there's no work that is truly unique in everything. So it's even like you can read any book, like even like Harry Potter, any single book, and it still has traces of other books that have been written before, just because that's the way that humans are. They're just kind of taken bits and pieces of other things that they've seen, other books. So I feel like at the end of the day, as long as you do it and it makes you happy and you have passion for it and you put your own unique spin, as you've said, then it's good.
I know, yeah, like sometimes I have to take my own advice. I know I said in your video, yeah, I get a lot of my inspiration from other YouTubers, but you just have to put your own spin on it.
I love that you added that, because I think that people feel guilty about it. Like, oh, I really wanted to do this video, but so-and-so did it, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And
yeah.
Like, oh, no, now you can do it. Just like see what they did, like do your own spin on it, do your own research. So that's always good.
Okay, so now switching over to less of like influencer business. I know you also sent me the 73 questions with Taylor Swift Vogue YouTube video, which I was watching just before our interview and thought was so cute. But why did you include it on this list of ways you get inspired and motivated?
I chose Taylor Swift because I'm a huge fan of Taylor Swift.
Me too.
I love her music. And not only that, I feel like we're done with business, but as a marketing person and as a business person, she's so good. Like if you saw her video for Look What You Made Me Do, like she has so many hidden messages and so many elements, like just the marketing and everything's just genius. So I always get inspired by her. But I love the 73 question segment. Because I love interviewing people, I'm always surprised by people's answers. I love the way that the questions are. It's one of those things where I see it and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I get to interview someone again, or I get to like ask the same questions. I just think it's really fun, and it really helps me coming up with questions for my interviews too.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so cute. And it showed her house as she walked around, and I was like, her house is the cutest thing.
I know. A dream house.
And going back to the music video, I've been a huge Taylor Swift fan since I was little. I've been to like 2 of her tours, loved it. And honestly, I was a little disappointed in her new song. I'm not going to lie.
When I first heard it, because I really wanted to stay up, but it was one of those things where I was like, I can't stay up anymore. Yeah. So as soon as I woke up the next day, I heard it and I was like, this is it. But then when I saw the music video, it completely changed the song for me. And I was like,
me too, honestly.
Yeah, I was like, I love it. Like, this is amazing.
Me and my friend Tucker talked about that actually. Cause I really love the music video. Even still though, like the song, like, okay, I won't listen to it probably when I'm not watching the music video, but the music video was so well done and all of her music videos are so well done.
Even the whole concept of having an era for every single thing that you release is something that people can adapt to their YouTube and their Instagrams and everything. It is just genius. Like the amount of times that I've taken an era and just breaking it down and like building it into my blog and everything, like the whole concept, it's just little things that you don't expect that you can use for your business and your YouTube channel and whatever it is that you're doing.
Exactly. And I think that's a lesson we can learn. Like even though Taylor Swift's, you know, passion and her career is music, like you said, you can take it and put it into your Instagram, even if you have like 100 followers. But now I just have a few questions for you. So you said you love interviewing and you love the questions, like, and people's answers. What is your favorite part about blog interviews? Or where do you want to take the interviews in the future?
So my favorite part about it has to be the conversations. And getting to talk to people and hear their story, just because sometimes when they make videos, there's so many things that they want to say, but they can't say just because it's not their platform to. And you always, you can't really tell like how people film, how people do this. So it's really interesting to me to learn how people plan out their videos, how different people, just put their work out there. And something that I've learned is that the majority of these peoples are creatives before anything else. And just to have a creative conversation is always really interesting. And at the moment, I'm actually planning on turning the blog interview series into a YouTube interview series. Nice. So I'm actually going to have it in video format very soon instead of having it written out.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's sort of like what I was wondering. I was like, are you going to take it to podcast or video or keep it blog? Okay. And then to finish out the podcast, I like to ask all my interviewees their favorite inspirational or motivational, or it doesn't even have to be inspirational, but what's your favorite quote of the moment that gets you through the day?
Yeah. So right now I find that I'm telling this quote to everyone that I know and I talk to. And it says that if you really want something, the whole universe is going to conspire so that you get it. And it's from Paulo Coelho and it's from his book The Alchemist, and I love that book so much.
Oh my gosh, I read that freshman year, I think, and I need to reread it because it was like in school and I was like, it's a school book, but yeah, I actually enjoyed it more than usual. But anyway, yes, continue.
Yeah, so that's my favorite quote about it, and it's just basically saying that if you want something hard enough, everything around you is going to conspire so that you get it.
I mean, I've always just gone off that mentality, like what you give is what you get, and so like, yeah, I think that's the way, like, I'm a Christian, so I want to tithe. And I find that that comes back and really benefits me, even though that's not the goal. But yeah, so I love that quote. And it's from a novel, like a school-read novel. So look at that.
It's really good. I didn't read it in school. I read it just for leisure for myself, and it was so good.
So is there anything else you'd love to leave our audience with today? Or do you want to tell them where they can find you on social media?
Of course, you guys can follow me on Instagram at lovekarinamichelle. And if you guys want to check out the interviews, just go to lovekarinamichelle.com. And there's a little segment called Coffee with Karina. So you just click there and you guys can read all the interviews and just check everything out.
Thank you so much for joining me today. And I can't wait to talk with you in the future.
Yes, I had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Okay, have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So that was Karina, everyone. She was an absolute delight, and I absolutely loved recording this episode for you guys. So have an awesome day yourselves, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Happy September. Bye.